Hello, I'm Father Michael Lampe, the new associate here at Immaculate Conception. I'm happy to be here. I've been a priest for 4 years. My previous assignment was at Ascension in Chesterfield. And I'd like to just share a little bit about myself. I look forward to getting to know all of you, but to help you to get to know me, I'll talk a little bit about myself. I was born and raised at Epiphany Parish in South St. Louis. I went to Bishop DeBerg High School, and then I went to the University of Missouri Rolla and studied nuclear engineering. After getting a bachelor's degree in that, I stayed for a master's degree in nuclear engineering, and then I worked for 4 years in the nuclear industry, working for a small consulting company, doing calculations for power plants. And after that, I finally said yes to the Lord, who was inspiring me and encouraging me to consider priesthood and enter the seminary. So I went to seminary for 6 years and then was ordained a priest in May of 2017. And after being at Ascension, the Lord has sent me here to be with all of you. And this concept of sending is something that we see in our first reading. In our first reading, God is sending Ezekiel to his people. And he warns Ezekiel that the people are having difficulty following him. And Ezekiel has the task, the duty, the responsibility, the joy of bringing the truths of God to those people. We can certainly relate to that, or at least I can. I'm sent here to Immaculate Conception to be with all of you, to share with you the good news, to share with you God's word, to share with you the sacraments and his grace. And like the people of Israel, none of us are perfect. We're all works in progress, seeking to grow in holiness. And so it is my pleasure and honor to minister to you. But in the time of Ezekiel, it was particularly difficult for people to be moved by God. The Lord warns Ezekiel that they're probably not going to listen and have all sorts of difficulties and hardships. But Ezekiel, being a prophet, is sent to them and he does miracles and he shares the good news. But God decides that that's not good enough. In order to better win the people over, he decides to become human himself. And so he comes down from heaven, becomes incarnate, becomes Jesus Christ. And Jesus shares the good news of the love of God to try to draw people to himself, because he himself is God. And he came to die on the cross, so that through this gift of himself on the cross, he would win for us the grace of salvation, that we who have gone astray from God because of our sinfulness may be reunited with God because of his mercy, because of this gift of Christ, of himself on the cross. But before he gives himself up on the cross, while he's still preaching and teaching, he goes to his hometown of Nazareth, like we hear in our gospel passage. And we see what happens. We see how these particular people responded to him. They were amazed at what he had to say. They were surprised at the mighty deeds that he was doing. And yet they still had difficulty wanting to follow him. They still had difficulty believing that he was who he claimed to be. They were disinterested. They were dismissive. Oh, isn't he the carpenter's son? Like, we know him. We grew up with him. He's nobody special. He doesn't really have anything to share. He can't be the promised Messiah. That was kind of their attitude towards Jesus. And we heard that he was amazed at their lack of faith. They didn't believe, but they also weren't open to all of these things. Even seeing these great things, hearing these great things, they still were not moved towards conversion. And so they missed out. We heard in our gospel passage, he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there. He did mighty deeds other places because of the faith of the people, because of their disposition, because they were open to that grace, the blessings that the Lord wished to offer them. But this group of people was not. And because they weren't, They missed out. And so there's a lesson here for all of us, that God wants to fill us with his grace. He wants to fill us with his mercy. He wants to guide us to our true happiness, which will ultimately be with him forever in heaven. But that starts even here on earth. God wants to guide us to himself. And we have to decide how we want to respond. Are we open to these gifts, to these blessings? Are we open to what God has to offer us? Are we willing to accept his transforming love? Or are we going to resist it? Are we going to be dismissive? The Lord guarantees that he will give us his grace through the sacraments, through the sacrament of confession, being healed of the guilt of our sins, through the sacrament of the Eucharist, the gift of Christ, giving himself fully and completely, body, blood, soul, and divinity to all of us. God's grace is guaranteed in all of the sacraments. But if we're dismissive, if we're not believing, then we're going to miss out on all the blessings that God wants to offer us. And so it's important for us to have that openness, to be willing to receive. We have an example of someone who did that in St. Paul. He was zealous for the Lord, and at first he was persecuting Christians because he thought that they were mistaken. He thought that they were going astray, that they were blaspheming, that they were wrong. And so, in his zeal, he persecuted them, trying to prevent others from following them. But because he was so zealous for the Lord, he had an openness to what God had to say. And so Jesus appeared to him and told him the truth about himself and brought about St. Paul's conversion. But he had to be open to receive that message from God. And when he was converted, he was then zealous for our Lord Jesus Christ. He became one of the apostles in the sense of going out and sharing the good news. He considered himself in one of his letters as the apostle to the Gentiles, drawing more people to Christ. And even though he underwent difficulties and challenges, he was still being filled with his grace of the Lord, so that in the midst of persecution himself, he was very joyous. We heard in our second reading, St. Paul sharing with us that he prayed to the Lord that a particular difficulty, challenge, or as he said, thorn in the side, would be removed. And the response God gave him was, "My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient." God had something better in mind than simply taking away that ailment. And St. Paul recognized that. He said that God allowed this so that he would not become too elated, so that he wouldn't become prideful. God's more concerned about our souls than he is about our bodies. And so he's allowing St. Paul to have this particular affliction for the sake of the health of his soul, that he not sin through pride. And St. Paul then recognizes the good works of God and praises him and shares his own experience to let others know how good God is. Even by allowing some difficulties, some challenges, he brings a greater conversion of the soul, a greater pursuit of holiness and growth in virtue. And so St. Paul gives us this example of himself and this openness to God. If he was not open to God, he would not have heard from God that the grace was enough, that it was sufficient. So we are called to have this openness to God. St. Paul tells us that he boasts in his weakness so that the power of God may be recognized and glorified. And in another place in sacred scripture, St. Paul tells us to be imitators of him. So I will imitate him and boast a little bit of my own weakness, so that the glory of God may be revealed. As I said, I grew up in Epiphany Parish, but what I didn't say before was that I struggled with the faith as I was growing up, particularly around middle school. I had questions. I wasn't sure about certain things. But I also didn't know who to go to or who to ask or how to get these questions answered. And so in my confusion, I just kind of drifted away. no longer practicing the faith. I didn't have any definitive moment of, no, I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to go to Mass anymore. It wasn't anything like that. It was just kind of a letting go, or, like I said, a drifting away from the faith. Thinking that I could make it through life and be happy without God. I didn't know how wrong that was and how much I actually needed God until much later when I was in college. Now, I'm the fourth of nine children, so I had never had a room to myself. But while I was at Rolla, I had an opportunity. I was staying one summer to work as an undergraduate research assistant. And while I was there, I paid a few hundred extra dollars so that I could have a room to myself. And I was excited, at least at first, about that. But what I didn't think about was that all my friends were gone because it was the summer. They all went home, and there wasn't a whole lot going on. So I'd go to work, and then I'd come back to the dorm, and there was nothing. There was this emptiness, a void, a darkness in my life. Some would say it would be a God-sized hole. I wasn't happy at all. I was quite miserable. And I would do whatever I could to try to flee from this darkness, this emptiness, this void that I was experiencing. I'd watch a bunch of movies. I'd play a bunch of video games. And it was a distraction for a time, but it wasn't fulfilling. It didn't bring me joy. Just a brief, fleeting moment of pleasure. And sometimes in my boredom, I would even go on the internet and I would start reading different articles, get a couple paragraphs into it and be like, I don't really care about this, so I'm going to like find something else that might be interesting. But then just end up doing the same thing. Starting to read a little bit and then give up. So dissatisfied. And eventually I reached a point that I was just quite miserable. And then God gave me a certain grace to be able to look to the future of what will my life be like when I graduate? What will life look like in the future? And based upon my behavior at that time, it would have been more of the same, but even worse. And so I was terrified at that idea. I didn't want that. But I also had no idea what to do differently or how to be set free from it, from that misery. And so I did something I hadn't done in a very long time. I turned to God in prayer. At this point in my journey, I wasn't even sure that God was real, or if he was real, I wasn't even sure that he cared. But I was so desperate, I was willing to give it a try. It took me such pain and agony before I was finally open to giving God the opportunity to be a part of my life. In fact, I begged, I pleaded that he would come in and rescue me from the misery I was experiencing. And he didn't disappoint. As I was praying, even in that moment, I started to gain greater confidence. Confidence in God, that he is real, that he does care, that he will make a difference. And I had a sense of contentment come over me. And this, I believe, was the grace of God. I don't know how to explain it any other way. And in the days that followed, God was also still at work, answering my prayer. I would have inspired thoughts of doing things that I never would have thought of on my own. Things like, go to Mass. Now, that may seem quite obvious because we're all at Mass right now. But to me, having been fallen so far away, having been at Rolla for so many years, it never occurred to me before that that should be something that I should do. And even when these thoughts came to me, I would resist it. I would hesitate. I would say things to the Lord like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, they probably have a Catholic church here in Rolla, but I don't know where it is, or I don't even know how that whole thing works, and it's going to be super awkward. And yet God was patient and persistent. Go to Mass. Lovingly encouraging me to a greater kind of life, a life in relationship with him. And he gave me other thoughts too, like go to the Catholic Newman Center. Now, where my dormitory was and where the campus was, I had to pass the Catholic Newman Center every day to get to my classes, and never once did it occur to me, like, I should go inside. And yet now, after I had this deep, sincere prayer, after I had this encounter with the Lord, this thought comes to me with this loving, patient persistence, go to the Catholic Newman Center. And yet in my weakness, my response was, I don't know, that's going to be super awkward. Like, I don't know anybody there. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to interact with people. I'm just a nerd. But I followed God anyway because I knew that I had asked Him to enter into my life, to tell me what to do, to make things better. And God was answering. And the difference was I was now open to what He had to say. I was willing to follow. There was faith in my life. And so God led me to a happier, more joyful, more fulfilling life because of that openness. So I did start going to Mass. I did start going to the Catholic Newman Center. And yes, it was awkward at first. But God in His mercy was with me in the midst of those awkward moments to help me grow, to help me to become better, to help heal me and fill me with His abundant grace that He probably wanted to give me for a very long time, but I just wasn't open to it before. And so God wants to do the same for all of us here. He wants to fill us with His grace. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants us to be able to hear His voice in prayer. But sometimes when we pray, we're dismissive. We think, you know, okay, I'm going to spend a few minutes in prayer, but, you know, not really anything's going to happen. I'll say my Hail Marys, my Our Fathers, and then I'll be done and I can move on and do whatever else for the rest of the day. That's not really being open to God. If we want to be open to God, we need to be sincere. We need to be able to sit in silence and give Him the opportunity to speak. If we're the only one speaking the whole time in prayer, we're not open to hear His voice. Imagine if you were trying to have a conversation with somebody and they just didn't stop talking. Like, you would never have an opportunity to speak. And yet sometimes in our weakness, we do that same thing with God in our prayer. And so we are called to be open to His grace, to be open to His mercy, to be open to all that God wishes to give us through the sacraments, through our individual prayer, through our relationship with God. Because God wants what will make us happiest. He wants us to be filled with His mercy, His grace, so that we can have the joy of being with Him forever in heaven. And that relationship starts here on earth. And if we're open to it, then God will not disappoint us. So, for this week, let us each day spend at least a few minutes opening our hearts to God, being sincere with Him, and then sitting in silence, giving Him the opportunity to speak to us. We're not going to hear the voice of God unless we're open to it. And it may not happen right away, but if we persevere, God will not disappoint us. So let us take a brief moment in silence now to prepare ourselves to receive that wonderful and abundant grace that God wishes to give us in the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist.